Yesterday, Sairaji spoke about how in the large field of observation, that is, the kaya, vedana, citta, and dhamma, the physical phenomena, feelings, mind, and general objects, the physical objects, kaya, the group of physicality, is more obvious than the others. And vipassana has to start with observing the obvious object. Therefore, we start with observing physical phenomena, rupa. We observe the arising kaya as kaya. We observe the rising when it arises. We observe it as rising. We observe the falling as falling. Lifting as lifting, moving as moving, placing as placing, turning, standing, stretching, bending, all these things, when they arise, are observed as they are. So Sairaji spoke yesterday about how one observes and how an upasana occurs. An upasana means repeated observation. And this requires application of ardent effort. When one applies effort to note the arising object every time, mindfulness occurs. And then one notes without missing. One tries to catch every single thing. Making that type of effort, sati arises. And then the mind doesn't run anywhere. It falls collectedly on the object of our observation. This is samadhi. When samadhi is present, we come to know true nature as it really is. To the extent that one makes effort, concerted, meticulous effort, trying to be as continuous as possible, then one knowledge, one moment of knowledge, one moment of knowing follows another. And yesterday, Sairaji started to speak about development of knowledge from the basics. With an upasana, one needs to always make concerted effort. With effort, sati develops. With sati, samadhi develops. With samadhi, knowledge also develops. So these things occur. If we want to be able to observe kaya when it arises, physical phenomena when they arise, we must always apply ardent effort so that sati will arise, followed naturally by samadhi, collectedness of mind, followed naturally by panya, knowing. The yogis have this responsibility all the time. This is their ongoing responsibility. What Sairaji is talking about, the practice of satipatthana, is not his idea. It is based on the texts, and therefore he shows what the texts say when he speaks. Yesterday he spoke about atapa, which is translated as virya, effort. But when this is explained in the texts, there are quite a variety of meanings that are given for this word. And if he explains all this, it will take a lot of time. So he will simply explain three levels of effort or virya that the Buddha spoke about. And the first of these is arambhadhatu, which means initial effort, like sprouting a seed, almost. And then nekamadhatu is the second level. This is increased energy, stepped up effort, So in order to overcome laziness, the third level is called Parakama Dhatu, which is progressive effort, effort that goes up stage by stage until one reaches the goal. Those who have come here to practice know best what their goals are in coming here. But whatever one does in life, one should establish a goal, because then one's work will be effective. Here, one should at least have the goal of developing a pure mind and reaching a good situation in terms of one's mind. Seroji says we should aim for at least realization of first path, sotapannahood. If we don't, what can happen is that in our past lives, well, we certainly must have done akusala in the past, unwholesome deeds. And just the same way, we've also done good deeds in the past, in our past lifetimes. We did a lot of good deeds that resulted in us having this lifetime that we have now. But if by accident we die without having reached sotapannahood, the potential is there for our unwholesome past acts to result in a lower birth. And if we go down to the realms of apaya by some unfortunate accident, then we will have lost the chance that we had in this lifetime to gain a firm footing, to gain a good status in our life. So this is how Seroji sees it. And he says that one should have, one should hold sotapannahood as one's minimum goal, so that one will cut off the potential to go down to the lower realms in future lifetimes. Seroji isn't criticizing other people, but he criticizes, he has in the past, and he does criticize himself. People do that. People criticize, look at themselves and evaluate themselves. And when Seroji was young, he looked at himself and he thought, if I just enjoy life without the practice of satipatthana, then if I can't keep sila, if one just enjoys life and can't keep sila, morality, then one isn't a true human being without basic morality. And without being able to observe as we do with the practice of satipatthana, one won't have the ability to control one's mind. Further, with satipatthana practice, one gains the ability to reflect on what is beneficial and what is not, what is suitable and what is not. One gains knowledge. So without this ability to reflect, without the knowledge that one can develop through the practice, one makes wrong choices. One doesn't know what it will help one to do and what won't. So looking at it this way, if one can't keep basic morality and one can't keep one's mind under control, and further, one can't develop knowledge, including the ability to reflect on what is beneficial and suitable and what isn't, this is not a good situation. So those who can practice this Mahasi method, they have the chance. For example, Seroji, as a young yogi, he had the chance to keep sila, doing this practice as a monk. He kept the sila of a monk. And then also learning the method of practice for observation, he learned to control his mind and developed knowledge. And This is the opportunity that one has when one does the practice, to develop knowledge and have the ability to reflect. So he thought to himself, this is better than just an ordinary life lived without developing the practice. So he thought that if he were to use his life in some other way, that is, without keeping basic sila, without using the method of observation to keep his mind under control, without developing knowledge, he would not be a superior human being. He would not be able to upgrade his life. And because of that, there's the potential to go down in future births. So he thought about this when he was young. And when he had the chance to better himself by doing the practice, he did so. And he gained a refuge, a place where he could stand in this life. So now, having this good opportunity with the desire to better our lives, if we have this desire, if we have this desire to better our lives, then we understand that this can't be done with ordinary effort. We need to understand this. And thus the Buddha used this word atapi, or atapa, which means ardent effort. One should possess this quality of concerted, ardent effort. Effort that is not casual, not cool, not gazing here and there, not thinking, not stopping and starting. This requires effort that is continuous, without a gap. And this is very important. And therefore, in the many ways that the Buddha used to describe atapa, one that seems very appropriate is this: the three levels of effort that are required. First of all, this arambha dhatu, the initial effort, wanting to be a true human being, wanting to develop a mind that is truly human, develop knowledge that is better than ordinary. With that desire, one comes to the center to do practice, comes to a retreat like this. So this is our initial effort that we make. We have to make this type of effort. When we start out the practice, as we go along, tiredness comes up. We may feel a little bit tired, or we may feel very tired. And at the start, too, we have many uncomfortable feelings: numbness, aching, things falling asleep, itching. There are many things that feel uncomfortable. At this time, if one changes one's posture, one won't come to understand the feeling, the uncomfortable feeling, and one won't develop momentum of effort. One's momentum will be broken by changing posture. So one needs to boost up one's effort, one's virya at this point, by urging oneself not to change posture. One has to one has to have that in mind. Urge oneself not to change one's posture even though something feels uncomfortable or painful. So this effort one applies to work with uncomfortable feelings is stepped-up effort. And this is called nekama dhatu, the effort to get over difficulties, the effort to overcome laziness. So having gotten over difficulties, having gotten past laziness, what is one's goal? One wants to be a true human being with a truly human heart and mind. with human knowledge. So this needs progressive effort, effort that goes up continuously. When making effort in the practice, at first one has to keep on pushing. One has to do a lot of work to get one's effort going. But later on, it goes by itself. One doesn't need to push. And finally, one gets to one's goal. This culminating energy that increases progressively, progressive energy, is called Parakama Dhatu. One who works to develop these three levels of effort, of virya, comes to possess them. To have these three stages of virya is very important. When one is applying effort stage by stage, laziness doesn't come in to the mind at all. And one comes to be able to note every rising, every falling. Whatever physical phenomena arises, one can note it without missing it. Feelings that arise, one can note them. Thoughts, imagination, and so on, whatever arises, of whatever type of consciousness arises, one can note these things. And the other natural dhammas that arise, whatever phenomena arise, because of this application of effort to note the object, one comes to be able to do this. So for this to happen, one has to have a lot of effort. One has to have extreme effort. And this type of effort is worthy of praise. Why? It's because this effort brings about sati, mindfulness. And when we have sati, the mind becomes collected on the object. And when the mind is collected, eventually knowledge arises. So this is why this effort that we make, extreme effort, is praiseworthy. It brings about the development of mental energies. And this brings us a lot of good results. Sati blocks the kilesas. And it keeps the mind from being attacked. And it controls the mind, so the mind doesn't go running away. One comes to see clearly. So these are benefits that one gets. And they, when our virya, our mental energy is full, our application of effort is strong, then there will be a lot of sati. So if in one noting we have one application of virya, there's one moment of sati that will come about as a result. In 1 minute, if we have 60 notings with ardent effort, there will be 60 moments of sati that come about. In 5 minutes, if we're noting every second, that will bring, with ardent effort, then there will be 300 moments of sati that come about. And when these moments are connected, one after another, then amazing energy is developed. Sati sticks firmly to the object. It becomes firmly established. And when that happens, this firmly established sati protects the mind. It blocks the defilements. This is undeniable. No one can deny that this comes about. And because of this, the mind is protected and secure. If we have this type of security 60 times, is that a small amount? To have 60 moments like that in a minute? Or even if we're noting just every other second, is 30 moments like that of protected mind just a little thing? So one has to observe in this way with application of effort, ardent effort, so that sati will stick to the object. And One has to be continuous in the practice. One has to apply this effort moment after moment. And when we do this, Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration, will follow the mindfulness, which is comes about due to our effort. It will come about automatically. So when one makes effort, to the extent that one makes effort to observe every arising object, to that extent, sati will arise, and the mind will fall collectively on the object. And then the desire to see good things, hear good things, smell, taste, and touch good things won't arise. The mind becomes secure. So the mind has these three factors of the samadhi group, samadhi kanda, that is application of effort, virya, sati, and samadhi. This is the samadhi kanda. And the mind that occurs together with these three mental energies is called the bhavana mind, bhavana citta. It's said in Pali, bhavanaya yota payotataya ti yogi. So it means that when there is the initial effort, stepped up effort, and progressive effort to develop the pure mind, one who applies effort in this way is called a yogi. And this person with these three stages of effort is a true yogi. A true yogi automatically comes to have a clean mind. However, there's one thing. Those who look here and there, this is probably a habit one may have from one's past, from things that the ways one has practiced in the past, or from one's daily life. If one looks here and there when one is doing the practice, then one's mindfulness is not connected. One is not making continuous effort, and there is no guarantee that such a one, without the continuous application of effort, will gain the benefits. Such a one is not guaranteed to become a true yogi. When one works to get these three levels of effort, the initial effort, stepped up effort, and progressive effort, it is certain that there will be no kilesas arising in one's mind when one possesses these three efforts. And to the Buddha gave an example in the scriptures about how one should behave in order to develop these three stages of effort so that one would possess them. And the first instruction was chakumasa yata anto. That means that although one has eyes, they must behave as though they are blind. So a blind person does not look anywhere. Their eyes, they don't, nothing comes in through the eyes, so they don't look here or there to see anything. And although the yogi has perfectly good eyes, one has to behave as though they do not. They should not follow their eyes, look at things here and there. People with eyes tend to do this, people with good eyes that can see, but yogis have to restrain themselves. And the way to do this is to keep the attitude that one is a blind person. And the second instruction is sotava badiroyata. That means that although one has ears that are perfectly capable of hearing, one should consider that one doesn't. For a deaf person, their ears are basically useless. And we should have the same attitude towards what comes in through our ears. We should just note it as seeing. Panyavasayatamugo is the third instruction. That means that although we may have worldly knowledge, technical knowledge, and so on, when it comes to the practice, we should behave as though we know nothing at all, and we should follow the instructions of the teacher. Despite however much knowledge we may have gained, we should not, in the practice, we have to consider oneself, ourselves, a rank beginner. And we should not speak with other yogis. One has to speak with the meditation teacher, of course. That's all right. But not with other yogis. The fourth instruction is balava dubalo riwa. That means that although one may be strong and healthy, one has to behave when one is practicing as though one is not strong and healthy. People who have a lot of physical energy do things quickly. They bend and stretch, get up, sit down, change postures quickly. But we can't do that as yogis. We have to move about. For example, the way a person with a bad back sits down carefully, stands up carefully, because if they don't, they might hurt their back. So we have to behave like that and do things extremely slowly. And the fifth instruction is atate samupane sayeta matasaikang. That means that when we're meditating, if pain arises, for example, we should just behave like a corpse. So a corpse that is just lying there, if it's a corpse, maybe a dog might pull at a corpse, and birds might come and peck, but a corpse does nothing in response to whatever happens to it. And this is the attitude that we should have when we're observing pain. Just consider that we're a corpse. And these instructions are not in order to make us blind, deaf, and so on. These instructions are given because this is the way to develop samadhi. And if we don't have samadhi, we won't develop knowledge. So this is what we need to do. We need to adopt these attitudes in order to develop knowledge. And this is why the Buddha urged us to be like this. Those who can behave in this way gain samadhi and gain knowledge in just a few days. If one doesn't behave like this, and instead one follows one's eyes, looking here and there, turns to hear something, and so on, sits down abruptly, stands up abruptly without paying attention, even if one practices many, many days, there is no hope that this person will gain the benefits of satipatthana practice. Now, for the most part, yogis are not speaking to other yogis, and if they have to do so, they do it quickly. So this is good. But it happens that those of us who have been trained by our education, we have a habit of thinking about everything. What is this? Why is this? What's it going to be like? So this, because we have this habit due to our conditioning, this habit arises when we are practicing and we think, what is that? What was that? Why is it? So at that point, one has stopped talking to other people. However, one is still talking to oneself. And if in 5 minutes we talk to ourselves every second, that will be 30 lost notings. Sorry, 300 lost notings. And in half an hour, think of how many notings we will have lost if we're sitting there talking to ourselves. I think it's 1800, something like that. So at this time and place, one should be careful not to have any discussions with oneself. One should abandon this talking to oneself, this reflection. And one needs to use effort to note in order to do this. So one has to apply one's effort. when one cherishes the practice, one will be respectful. And working respectfully, making effort in the practice, benefits will come about. And when benefits come about, good results in our practice come about due to our respectful care, then one will have even more respect, more care, more meticulousness, work better and better, harder and harder. So Seyadoji wants us to be able to develop special knowledge in this retreat. So in the remaining days, he urges all the yogis to please control your eyes so that you are not looking here and there, and please do not talk to yourself. That's all for today.